Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we be human together, all together in this special place for it, a sort of humatarium. Is that right? A humadrome, where we all get to be ourselves, all these souls together, longing for joy. Did you ever see a duck with the head of Mr. Spock? Duck, Spock, duck, Spock. Did you ever see a leaf that looked like a knife? Leaf, knife, leaf, knife. Did you ever see a puppet as tall as a tree? Puppetry, puppetry, puppetry. What are you doing, Hardy? Well, I'm trying to write a children's book. That's my new aspiration. I would like to write for children because I believe that children are our future elderly. And we need to give them memories so they'll have something to forget in the future. Oh, I love children. They're full of potential. Oh, and they'll believe anything you tell them. It's wonderful. They're like a tabula rasa. Look at this canvas. What am I going to paint on it? Oh, benevolent lies. I'm going to tell them stories. And that's why I'm here to tell you a story. You get to be a child again. Go ahead. Be fearful of commonplace things. Wet your pants. Anything you want. We're going to be children for a while. We're going to get in touch with our playful side. Some people have different sides. Did you ever see the old carnival scene? Half of me is dressed as a woman, and then my clothes actually divide right down the middle like that. And my other half, I don't know, is a pirate or an alien. Who knows who you are? You're made up of all sorts of things. We are a wonderful stew, a burgoo made of all of our experiences. And I would like to add some things into your stew. I see you already have corn and some potatoes in there, some chunks of something. You know what I'd like to put in there? Dice. I think that'd look fun. It might not be edible. Have you ever seen they make edible things look inedible? I think that's a wonderful thing. When you say, oh, is that looks like just an ordinary alarm clock? No, it's all made of marzipan. What about that over there? It looks like a coffee mug. Marzipan? Is everything here made of marzipan? It is. It is. But here's the irony. I don't like marzipan. So technically for me, it's not edible. I hope that my show is edible for you. I wish you could eat this show. And you can't really, I don't know that you can eat things that you hear. I know that there's a synesthesia where people see colors and hear colors and smell colors. But I don't know if you could eat sound. It'd be wonderful if you could just live on a diet. What have you been, I'm on a special diet. I'm just eating early David Bowie right now. It's satisfying to me. It fills me up. And I'm pooping out the cars or something like that. Who knows what your digestive system does to things. When I was a child, I would love any story that involved becoming very tiny. I thought that was the most wonderful thing in the world. And there's lots of stories like that where they shrink down and they go inside a human body, or they shrink down and they go inside, I don't know, an animal's body, or I don't, now I'm thinking about it, I don't remember. The worst is when you shrink down, but you're in outer space, so you can't tell because it's not relative to anything. So I don't know how small I am. I could be very, very tiny or very, very large, but because I'm out here in space, I don't know. Because size is a relative thing. We always say, oh, you know, we're on a small planet. We're all very tiny. Yeah, I mean, not really, though, because there's no giants walking around in space. So, you know, locally, I'm large. Oh, and like Walt Whitman, I have a beard. I contain multitudes of beards. There's so many in me. I have so many internal facial styles. Oh, that's why children love to dress up, too. I'm going to pretend to be all sorts of things. And then when we get to be older, we stop pretending. And then when we get very old, we have to pretend again because we don't maybe fully remember who we are. So I'm going to try to remember desperately. who I am. I would like to remind you who you are. You are everyone and no one. And I would like you to step into my office now, which sort of looks like Santa's workshop, and free your mind. You have no more responsibility, not for the next hour. For the next hour, you are free to explore the universe, free to explore your mind. Hardy, I know what's in my mind. It's like an old shop I have to go to every day, and I'm selling face cream, and nobody wants it, and it's all avocado and cucumber and everything. Flavor. Nobody wants to rub that on their face anymore. Very 70s. And I say to you, my friend, there are probably areas of that shop that you have not explored. Did you know that there is a little mouse living in the corner there? There is, yes. And that was the inspiration of my book, The Little Mouse Refinances His Hole. And it's for both adults and children. The children love the little mouse part, and then the adults learn about getting a second mortgage or a home improvement loan and how you go about step-by-step applying for that and what financial institutions can help you out and what's the best kind of cheese and what makes the best tiny furniture. But until you've explored your store in your mind, you don't... Was that the bell? Did somebody come in? I heard the bell ring. I got to go for a minute. I got a customer. Hello, friend. How are you today? I am fine, sir. I would like to purchase something at your store. Well, do you know what you want? No. What kind of store is it? Well, you tell me what you want, and I'll tell you whether we have it. All right. Peace of mind. I've got some for you. Here it is. Well, it looks like a jar of vinegar. It is. It is a jar of vinegar. I don't know what to tell you. Vinegar doesn't usually come in jars, does it? It comes in bottles, but you can see that the label says vinegar, so you assume that's what it is. Yes, I did, but really, it's my pet's urine sample. I'm taking my pet elephant, and I'm taking it to the zoo, because they've decided to replace all the animals with their waste. So instead of, it's much more humane. So instead of going to the zoo and, say, seeing a giraffe or a rhinoceros, you would just see their poo. And I think that makes more sense. You can learn so much from an animal's waste. You go through it, you can see what they ate. You can see how big they are. But say, oh, man, that's pretty big. That's because it came from an elephant. And it looks like it's got some hay in it that didn't get digested very well. Well, you know, he's older. But you can learn a lot from that. Scientists can take very tiny things, like, let's say, a bone. I did this experiment. I cut off one of my fingers, and I got all the flesh off of it, and I gave it to a scientist friend. I said, tell me if you can figure out what kind of animal that's from. And he said, well, that's a human finger bone. And I was like, oh, dang, I thought I would trick you more than that. Now I'm missing a finger. But there you go. You live and you learn and you lose limbs. Not necessarily. If you do things in your imagination, if you go into a sort of Star Trek holodeck, you can play out entire lives like that in the safety of your imagination. And that's why I invite you to come in here and think all sorts of things. What would it be like, you know, if my ears were very, very large or something? And what if everybody had large ears? It wouldn't be comical. And I'd be able to hear so many things, just like a tiny mouse. You know, some of them have very, very large ears. And you think, oh, if I had ears that large, I'd go into the wax business, because I'd be producing so much and make little things out of the wax. The bodies produce all sorts of things that you can use. Do you know that most of the dust in your house is skin from the old lady who used to live there? Yes, it's not. Where do you think it comes from? Where do you think your dust comes from, kid? Chromosomes. How do you know you have them? Drugs. That's right. And if we watched a lot of TV when we were young, we got a lot of information like that. Say, I want to know about the universe. Ads. That's how you do it. I settle down and I watch one of these TV shows. I'm more fascinated by the commercials. They tell me more inadvertently about the condition, the human condition, than the shows do. There's this channel, one of them, and it only shows old shows from when I was a kid. So I'm watching, the other day I'm watching MASH or something, or Hogan's Heroes. I get them confused. Are they the same? They're both about war, aren't they? MASH is the one where they're surgeons, but they live in a tunnel underground or something like that. And I'm watching that. First of all, it's very strange to me because I used to watch it as a kid, and now I'm an old person, and I felt like I was recreating what it was like to be an old person back then, just staring at the, oh, I'm watching some MASH. And it was very like being in a time machine. But the commercials that they had were very interesting to me because they all had to do with medicine for people who are sort of actively dying. Not just like, you know, allergy medicine, but like, are you in congestive heart failure? Here's a pill that's going to get you extra 5 minutes. That kind of ads. Things like that. Things for very, very old, sickly people. And I thought, wow, I haven't quite moved into that yet, but it's interesting that we're trying to sell people things right up to the moment of death. So don't forget, while you're still alive, there's still things to buy. Ask your doctor about buying things. You may still have enough life into you to purchase something to keep going. And that way you can get one of these special pillows that's unlike any pillow that's been ever made. Because this pillow can seal cracks and insulate boats that have been cut in half. All sort of miraculous things happen on these commercials. Give us hope about the future. Tell us about the incredible, exquisite human mind and how it can problem solve. Come up with all sorts of things that other people need to make their life better. Well, I've got something that's going to make your life better. I'm trying to deliver something to you that you desperately need. What is that? Well, first of all, I have observed what makes people feel empty. What they really need in their life. And it's a couple things. One of them I find is some purpose. Why am I here? What is this all for? What am I supposed to be doing? I feel as if I'm not doing the right thing. I feel as if the course that I am on is pointless. I see all the terrible things going on in the world. What is the point? What is the point? And I say to you, I am so sorry I wasn't listening. I was watching this funny cartoon over here. And I'm so embarrassed, but could you repeat the question? And let me tell you why. Because I was getting distracted because there was something over here that entertained me, that gave me joy. And I know I should have been focused on this other thing, but I was delighted. And I was delighted because I had a moment of noticing. This happens to me when I take walks and things like that. That's why I said, did you ever see a puppet as big as a tree? The answer is yes. If you've just watched some of these parades, you have seen puppets as big as a tree. But would you even compare it to a tree if I hadn't even mentioned it? And then I want you to think along these lines. Once you think something like that, and you have two words in your head, like puppet and tree. I know puppetry is a word. Isn't that that's a coincidence. I want you to imagine a landscape where all the trees are marionettes. And you say, that's frightful. No, it's not. It's not really. Come on. You're only afraid of puppets and clowns because people told you they were scary. Those things outside of context or outside of other people telling you in your head, they're not necessarily scary. I've literally never been scared of a clown. I know it's popular to say that. But I've never. I've just said, oh, there's a clown. I'm really indifferent more than anything else. I once went to a clown class. There's clown college, first of all. But this was just a couple professional clowns, trained circus clowns, not carpet clowns. What's a carpet clown? That's a clown that does like birthday parties and things like that. At your house, you know, you got to hire. I'm going to hire B.O. the clown. B.O.'s funny. And he comes out to the party and he makes animal balloons. And you go, what's this one? And the kids yell, genitals. And you go, no, it's a poodle. And that kind of thing, carpet clown. And then there's circus clowns. We don't have as many circuses anymore because of a horrible treatment of animals. We don't really need that. So the traditional circus is disappearing. Bad thing, good thing, I don't know. For those who died in a train fire 100 years ago, probably a good thing. So I wish you had done that 100 years ago when I perished in the train fire in Ohio or Illinois. Okay, sorry. But these were professional trained circus clowns, and they were very adamant that
that's what they were, and they weren't just regular clowns. They're very proud. And so they were giving a little class in clowning, and I learned a bunch of things. I don't want to name them, right, on the one hand, because they're real people, and they were twin brother clowns, and they're still alive and clowning, and I'm reluctant to say their names, but they're Boo Boo and Cuckoo, all right? I'm not going to tell you what city it was in, but they were twin brother clowns. And you go, I know who you're talking about. Okay, they're good people, and this has nothing to do. I'm not slagging them, so I feel like I can continue. So I went to Boo Boo and Cuckoo, had this clown class, and a couple things they pointed out were amazing to me. One of them had this wonderful, beautiful orange wig on, and he said the wig is so special, it's yak hair. How about that? It's yak hair from a yak, maybe from Tibet. You'll wonder if they're over there in Tibet going, you know, I'm shaving this yak here because I'm making a clown wig for Boo Boo, and who knows what's going to become of that. Yaks are wonderful. Yak butter. The female yak has a different name or something. I don't know it. Don't come here for information, too. A lot of people want to correct things I say. It's fiction. Even fact can be fiction. So, you know, some things are fact. Everything I say is fiction. Even if I name a true living person, it's like one of those historical novels. You know, it's George Washington, but it's not the real George Washington. So if I say he cut down a cherry tree, say, oh, that didn't actually happen, doesn't matter. With stories, truth is so unimportant, whether a story is true or not. It can have the same effect. For instance, if I base my morality on the story of George Washington cutting down a cherry tree and then confessing, and you tell me, no, that never happened, it doesn't undo the message of the story for me. You can base your entire morality on the Aesop's fables, and you'd be a fine person. And it doesn't matter that there are no talking foxes or whatever. That's unimportant. So when I say something, whether it's factual or not, is pointless. Truth and fact can sometimes be very, very different. And you say, oh, you're ruining. We're having a problem now with facts and truths and everything. I know, but I'm talking about storytelling. I'm not talking about running the government or science or anything. This is different. Rules are different here. You know, they can be different in different places, obviously. You don't go to a play and yell, lies, lies, you're pretending, that's not a house. In fact, there's nothing on the other side of that window. I know, please suspend your disbelief. That's what I'm asking you to do now, is suspend your disbelief. Let anything in. Don't worry that there's no filter. The dregs are good. There's something floating at the bottom of this glass of wine. I know it's residue. It's beautiful residue. It's real wine. There's real chunks of grape in it. There's real chunks of grape and hearty white. There's real things at the bottom of the glass. There's real dregs. Go ahead, drink them down.
Bitter dregs,
said Spock. Yak hair. Clown wigs. So, also I believe they showed their collection of noses. They had a nose collection. You put some spirit gum on your nose. You glue the nose on. And you say, look, I'm a funny clown. My nose is swollen with rosacea. I don't know how all these things happen. If you really look careful at it, a lot of it's very objectionable by today's standards. There's different types of clowns, right? And some of them are called character clowns. Character clowns are just what you think they are. They're not the ones... Like some are Auguste clowns. You've seen that with all the white and the very classical looking, like, you know, the opera clown.
I'm so sad.
That one. Not him. But character clowns, they say there's different kinds. And they gave out a list. And some of them were a little bit offensive and racist, you know, by today's standards. Like, you know, the... Hobo, a homeless person. Who wants to be a homeless? That's not Funny, really? Mexican native. Holy cow, really? Zombie. I'm on the fence about zombie clown. But there were things like that, so I was like, oh dear. Character clowns. But it was interesting. It tells you something about our history, at least. You should know it. But it's not funny. I don't know if I'm going to have somebody dressed up as another ethnicity coming and at our party and everything. Ooh, I like that one dressed as a Manchurian. That's scary. Look, he's got all white, got a big clown nose on, but those beautiful flowing silk robes also. Scary stuff, that Fu Manchu clown. Look at his nails, they're so long. They look like Howard Hughes. They don't look like Howard Hughes's nails. They look like actually Howard Hughes protruding out of the end of his fingers. There's little people, little billionaires coming out of the end of his fingers saying, I'm going to make a spruce goose, a plane so large it can barely fly. That's me. I'm Howard Hughes. I'm going to keep my urine in jars and then put a label on them that says vinegar. So I at the clown class, I had many thoughts about clowns, but none of them were, oh, I'm scared. I was just fascinated, and I was fascinated why somebody would want to do that. But I love it. I love clowning, and there's all sorts of clowning. You don't need to have makeup to do it. You can just go out there and demonstrate the weaknesses and foibles of human existence, and that makes people laugh. People love it when they see the aspects of themselves that they would normally be embarrassed or scared about, say, oh, I'm like that. I fall down. I look like an idiot. I drop things. I trip over myself. I look like a fool. I am laughing at the human condition. I'm not laughing at that person because, look, they're ridiculous. It's obviously not a real person. I'm not humiliating them. I am laughing at something that they represent. And what they represent is the clownish aspect of human beings. And that is important to see. It is important to see the silliness, to not take everything too seriously, because when we take it too seriously, we want to kill one another. So, you're insulting me, sir. You're insulting me. You're insulting me first. I'm hitting you with this gauntlet. What's a gauntlet? It's like a glove, but it's got like an extra wrist thing on it. Oh, let me see that. Yeah, here's the thing. They're sold for cosplay, like for being a superhero. Yeah, but I use them for gardening. Oh, how about that? Let me see that. It's just a gauntlet. It's a fake gauntlet. I mean, it's not a real one like Knight's War or anything. That's a brilliant idea. So where'd you get it? I just got it online. You can search like superhero glove gauntlets. All right. And I think they're more comfortable than the ones you get at the hardware store for gardening. And you look cool. I think it does look cool. Well, let me go ahead and hit you in the face with it. All right. And then that'll be a signal that we're going to feud right now. We're going to fight. Oh, I've all lost my energy to fight. I have too. Let's just go garden together. Let us plant a garden. Let us go out and make a community garden together. What shall we plant in that garden? I would like to grow little tiny people. Is that possible? Little babies?
Really?
Yeah, little babies come out of some kind of flower or something. Maybe I'm thinking of... Is this not true?
I think you're thinking of Ann Getty's.
I know, something like, but there's certain flowers have little human babies in them, don't they?
No.
I don't know. Certain bugs look like people.
Really?
I don't know, man. I know that picture of the caterpillar illustrated in, Alice in the Looking Glass. I believe the author, maybe it's Crookshank. Or I'm getting him confused with the illustrations in Dickens. I'm going to say it's Crookshank, even though I'm absolutely positive that's Dickens. These drawings of... Ow! And someone correct... Go ahead and correct me. It doesn't matter. But it does matter. It does and it doesn't. It does matter and it doesn't matter. It matters if you're doing a crossword puzzle. But I'm not even interested in the... The point I'm going to make is about how the caterpillar... How in profile, the little legs coming out also look like a nose and a mouth, and it's an illusion. Is that a chin and a nose, or are those two little legs of the caterpillar? Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes it looks like a face. We see faces in things. This has a name, too. Somebody's writing it in the comments right now. But we see faces in things, don't we? It's our desires being projected on the world. I want to see something familiar. I want it to look the way I want it to look. I want it to look like something that I recognize already, because I can't put it into context if I don't already have something to compare it to. I have nothing to compare what I'm listening to right now, Hardy White, to anything. You don't? Yes, you do, and you do all the time. People will write me. It's lovely to get letters. I don't get any actual letters. I get what they call email or electronic mail. And so when I go to my mailbox, I just get the usual thing, which is flyers and everything, which is fine. It's wonderful. A lot of businesses want me to come and get their food or order their pizza, and that's delightful. A lot of real estate agents want me to sell the place or something. I rarely get mail that's actually meant for me. And I occasionally get letters. And I have one. I've had a letter from a friend sitting on my desk and for a long time, and he's already emailed me and says, I know you're not going to answer it. And I say, no, I'm not going to answer it yet, but give me time. I hope he hasn't passed away or anything. I intend to get back to it. I used to be better about mail, but I get emails from people who listen to the show, and they say, I love it. This is what it reminds me of. This is what it's like to me. That's beautiful. It's so funny. People see all sorts of things. They see faces in the wallpaper. I want to be wallpaper to you. What kind of wallpaper do you want to be? I think I want to be the kind that has foil and flocks. Is that the right word? That has that kind of velvety stuff on it, but also foil? Used to love that when I was a child. We'd had some of that in the dining room. I'd go up and I'd just... Are you rubbing the wallpaper again? I am. I like to rub my face on it. It feels like a puppy dog. The wallpaper feels like puppies. The puppies feel like walls. The puppets look like trees. Knives look like leaves. Everything is different in this land. Come on in. We'd love to have you. I want to be confused. Scramble my brain. If I say things that you're used to hearing, if I were to say words that you're used to hearing, if I were to speak the language that everybody is speaking, if I were to speak in terms that you recognize, I think something very different would happen. You would say, I recognize that. I don't have to look any more carefully. I see that, and that's a face. Look again. It's not a face. Look again. Now it's not there. Say, oh, that sounded like an ad. I was too close to a cadence of an advertisement for deodorant. But if you get my point, then I need to change my point, because I believe what I'm trying to do is to spin you around. All right? Did you ever play this game as a child? They spin you around a bunch of times, maybe with your eyes open or closed or anything, spin you around, and then they say, all right, try not to vomit. It's the vomit game. And it's like, I can't. A lot of times also give you a task, like, you know, a lot of times you spin around by putting your nose on a baseball bat, you know, go around it, then you try to run in a straight line without vomiting. Again, it's a fun game. But it has to be. It has to do with being disoriented. And what does it mean to be oriented? Well, to be oriented means to be aimed in a specific direction, or to know where you are specifically. But I think we never really do know where we are, because once we think we know where we are, we stop noticing things. And when we stop noticing things, we stop taking in information. And when we stop taking in information, we are less likely to know where we are. And we are assuming things aren't going to change. And we assume we aren't know it's going to know this. The sound of the red. I don't even feel the necessity to say actual words sometimes, because that's really not the point, is it? Like I said, trying to do something very specific to your brain. And you have come here today. I would like you to relax in the chair. Now, are you relaxed? Are you sitting in that chair? Hardy, I'm in my car. All right, don't relax yet then. Just make sure you're taping this. Take your phone, put it up to the radio, record it, and then you can listen to it later. Aren't there archives? Yes, but what you want is that special quality of sound, like that. You've recorded it secondhand. Sometimes I'll do that, put a microphone right up to the speaker. Say, I want to hear that. I don't want to hear the pure sound. I want to hear it after it's gone through a little filters. I want to hear it deteriorated a little bit. I like things that are worn out. I like paintings that look old. I like books that look like they've been through something. The most wonderful thing about books is you open them up and there's like a nose hair, because somebody's been reading it and they went, that's an interesting passage. And they'll blow a nose hair down onto the book, and then they'll turn the page, and that nose hair will be like a pressed flower or leaf. and it's there for eternity. And you know, it could be your great-grandfather's nose hair. And I suppose if you really wanted to, you could clone him. But you wouldn't get a full-grown granddad, you'd get a little baby. A little baby great-grandfather. Born of a nose hair. Grown in a flower. The same flower that's pressed in that very book. What book is that? I don't know. I have some old books of my ancestors. Not very many. One is a book about David Livingston. It's called David Livingston. And it's a beautiful small little red book with gold letters on it. It's inscribed to my grandfather from his grandfather.
Enjoy reading this book. Signed, your grandfather. 1907
or something like that. I don't remember what the date is. I have books like that, and they're just a handful of them, and they're just crazy. I had one, Uncle Tom's Cabin. I had an old copy of that.
Enjoy this book.
I don't know who was buying books for everybody. I think it was my grandfather's father kept buying them, these books. I don't know if he ever read them, and I don't know why I have them. It's so funny. Why do we have the things we have? Why have we inherited what we have inherited? Have you examined your inheritance? Have you gone through that box of old stuff from Meemaw's? What's in there? I like going to antique shops that looks like just somebody's, like everybody's Meemaw's things. Just doodads and googaws and gimcrack and tchotchkes. That's a great name for your store, by the way. And little just, figurines, little cups. And I go through and I think, those stores are wonderful to me because I think, I don't want anything in here. I really literally don't. There's nothing in here I want. And yet I want this store. I want it all, like together like this. I want to see the things that people wanted to accumulate. The things that they wanted to collect. The things that were important to them. There's nothing more important to Meemaw than her... this certain kind of china, and there's certain she liked depression glass because she is depressed, and I like the manic glass. And people collect these things, and they have meaning to them, and they have worth to them, and it's what they decorate their existence with. And I love it because it's so pointless, and that pointlessness is what amuses me. It's not a condescending thing. I think it's lovely that people can find a beauty in tiny things and find purpose in things that seem pointless. And you think, well, that's pathetic. Shouldn't purpose be something grand? Who's to say? I don't know. There's no rule book with this. Purpose can be whatever you want. Man, life is short. Don't feel pressure to live somebody else's life. Don't feel pressure to have somebody else's values. If you just want to go through life collecting little clown plates, you do that. If that's what gives you joy, find your joy. Don't let someone else deprive you of it. Don't let somebody else tell you you're not taking the world seriously enough. Sure I am. Man, it's a struggle to get through. Every human being goes through the trauma of birth, goes through the helplessness of childhood, goes through the indecision and the confusion of adulthood, goes through the process of trying to survive or help others to survive, goes through the agony of senescence, goes through confronting their own death and their own mortality, and the pain of leaving this existence, the fear of letting go. Yes, we all have to do that. Isn't that heavy enough? Do I have to then solve all the problems for the future? No, I don't think so. It's enough getting through this life. Do not deprive individuals of their simple pleasures and joys, try to make them feel guilty for not saving the earth. We all have different gifts and intelligences. It is not my fault that I am depressive. It is not my fault that I am below average intelligence. It is not my fault that I am a psychopath, perhaps. Those are all circumstances of my birth. To imply that people have responsibility for just being a human being seems without mercy to me. Oh, beautiful creatures, I know what a struggle it is. Do not let yourself be deprived of joy. Do not let yourself be deprived of being fascinated with things, being childlike sometimes. There's nothing wrong with that. They say I'm not taking things seriously enough. To have the free time, to have the freedom to be so pain-free that I could then try to solve the world's problems. I'm most concerned with those people I know. I mean, I love you, stranger. And I want to be friends, because then when friends and I look in your eye, then there's something that happens to me biologically. And I can care even more for you. Because I care best for those I know, those people in my life, and I try to do my best for them. You know? And I have compassion for all, but I'm not some sort of God. I'm not some sort of magical being. You know, I do best with my intimate relationships with those close to me, and I try to care about them the most. I guess if we did that, you know, everybody would be taken care of. You know, each one love one, and then I try to expand that circle as my energies and my abilities allow me. But I'm not brilliant, and I'm not the strongest or healthiest person in the world, so I do what I can. But don't deprive others of their simple joys. You only get so many, you may not even remember them. So I would say be gentler, please. Be gentle with yourself and others. That's what I'm all about. Be gentle, be playful. There's plenty of times to take things seriously. We're all taking things seriously, believe me. Don't worry about that. Everyone gets their challenges. Nobody gets out of here alive. Oh-be-da-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-da-ba-da-bum. You think everything is fine right now, and then there might be tragedy tomorrow. So today, funny mice, hey, look at that. I'm getting joy right now. What am I getting joy out of? I'm getting joy of being with you. I'm getting joy about being able to say anything I want and be silly. And you think, oh, it's rambling. It's only rambling because you believe that information should be conveyed in some linear way, or that there should be a certain template. It's like painting. You say, that's not a painting, that's just a jumble of colors. So people say to me, oh, you're just doing stream of consciousness, rambling, saying nothing. So you like representational art only? No, I like abstract art. There you go. I don't know what to tell you. You know, maybe it's just a jumble of colors, or maybe it's a beautiful scene of a farmhouse with a blue sky. There can be both. You know, there's a way to do things that are explicit, and there's a way to do things that might be a little more obscure. And I don't mind being obscure. Live obscurely. I'm the first person to say that. No, I don't think you are. I think I am. Live obscurely. Somebody said it in Greek before, but I don't know if they said it in English exactly like that. Who said it? I'll let you go ahead and look that up. That'd be a bit of a philosophy rabbit hole you can go down. Is Epicurus? I'm not going to say. Please, stop. I'm just glad you came over. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we can be together. Is there anything I can get you? Yes, get me out of here. I'll get you out of here. Come with me. All you have to do is this. Hold your nose and then kind of blow. I just made my ears pop. That's the first step. Because we are not going to rise up into the stratosphere using only the air in our heads unless we do that. But I am teaching you, my friend, how to make your head into a hot air balloon, because don't you want to soar in the clouds? Don't you want to see what's on top of the clouds? I can do that when I fly commercially. You don't want to fly commercially? Don't do that. I can get you there without, you don't have to go through any security. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to share your seat with somebody who's impolite. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to wait. You don't have to have your flight canceled. There is no tarmac. There is no tarmac, my friend. There's only you and I, and holding our nostrils, inflating our heads with air, flying up into the clouds, looking down upon the earth, flying outside of the atmosphere, going into space. Are we large? Are we small? We're flying towards a distant planet. Do I even want to get there? That planet is identical to the one you just left. So what's the point? Let's not go. Let's just enjoy the trip. Let's talk together. Let's do something like, is there space travel bingo? Star, I got star, I got star. There's a star. All right, I already checked star. What are we looking for? Comet. Okay, it's going to be a while. What else are we looking for? Alien. Aliens are probably going to be on the planet, so we might not get that square. Oh, check free travel bingo, the one in the middle. All right, I got it. Now what? I don't know. You want to sing a song together? How do we pass the time?
How do we pass the time?
We eat moments. We eat moments and we digest them and then we pass the time into the beautiful time toilet. And then we flush it away. And where does time go? To some kind of processing plant? If we live in a progressive area, then our time is taken and all the impurities are taken out of it and we can use it to water crops of a new era. And we can reuse time. Can time be reused, or is it after it's spent, is it all gone? Is it like an old battery? What do we do with old batteries if they can't be recycled? What do we do with time if it can't be recycled? Oh, my friends, we could make a castle out of it, just like they do empty bottles, just like people do when they have a dream and they have no resources. Say, I want to make a castle, but all I have are cinder blocks and empty bottles and garbage. I will make a castle of garbage, because how is that any different than a castle of fine stone? Besides, you don't want to live in a castle or cold. You don't want to live in a cold castle. You want to live in something warm. What's warm? Fur? A fur house? But fur, you'd have to kill a creature to get its fur. Not if you keep it alive. Try to convince some bears to assemble themselves in a sort of Quonset hut. So y'all pile yourselves together. All right. And then I will go inside the Quonset hut made of brown bears. And it'll be so warm in there. Or I could just find some invisible creature to hold me all the time. Just put your warm embrace around me. Like an angel? Yeah, that's what I do in the winter sometimes. Instead of getting a coat, I will convince an angel to just go around hugging me. And people say, what are you doing? It's so cold out and you don't even have a coat on. I have an angel. I'm feeling the warm embrace of an angel. Its love is warming me. Its love is making me feel like I can do anything. I can go anywhere and I have this coat of an angel around me. And sometimes I'll walk around and I say, oh, I'm so embarrassed. Someone else is wearing the same coat. And then I realize it's a slightly different angel because they came from somewhere else. What does my angel look like? I don't know. Like I said, it's invisible. I can only feel it. I can only feel the warm embrace. Is it wings? I don't know because I can't see it. I assume they're wings, but I really don't know. I'm really doing that based on art, on Western art in particular, because I really don't know what it looks like. It could look like a demon or something like that. I don't know whether they're real arms. They could look like bat wings for all I know, but what I'm feeling is the beautiful love, the caring of this being that's around me. I feel enclosed in it. And it's a wonderful feeling. I feel safe. When I was a child, I'd get under covers, make little tents to feel safe. I'd go in little tiny spaces, in empty cabinets to feel safe. Children feel safe like that. Cats, puppy dogs, go to crawl in something, a cardboard box. I feel safe if something's all around me because my world is smaller. I shrink my world because the real world is so vast. The universe is so large. Who knows what's looming out there and could get me? So I'll make it small. I'll make it tiny. I could make it my own mind and feel even more secure. Oh, beautiful. I live in my own head. I hope this show is like that for you. I hope it's like a tiny little space. Hardy, when I listen to you, I feel like I'm crawling into a cardboard box. All right. Leave an air hole. Oh, there's an air hole. I'm fine. Don't suffocate. I don't want you to suffocate on my behalf part because of me. I don't want to incur any guilt. But I wouldn't mind if I was a duvet over you to keep a little more warm. To make you feel a little bit better. Oh, the world's scary out there. Every age is. Every age is. All times are. People have lived a long time. They don't get to pick the age they live in. They live whenever. Your life happens whenever. So, oh, these are tough times. Oh, I don't know. I'm a time traveler. There's been some. I don't like to compare because there's things happen all over the place and the globe is a big place, right? So these are even worse times somewhere on the other side of the globe. But I'm telling you, the whole history of life on Earth has been fraught. There's always something going on that's crazy. There's always injustice going on. We're always fighting against it. But there's joy, too. I'm worried you're not going to see the joy. I'm worried that you stop seeing it. And if you stop seeing it, you stop thinking that life is worth living. If you stop thinking that life is worth living, you stop fighting the injustice. You must have a reason to fight the things that are wrong and evil. You have to have something you're fighting for. You must have a vision of goodness. You can't be motivated constantly by anger. You have to be motivated by joy too, by love. Oh, that's what I'm going for. I got a little love. I want to nourish it. I want it to grow. That's why I'm fighting all these pests trying to eat my love garden. I want it to grow. If there was no garden there, why would I be bothered by the pests? These pests are preventing me from growing anything. Try to grow it anyway. We'll work on that as we grow it. Nourish that plant. Water it. Come out there every day. Yes, there's going to be things trying to eat it all the time. Some seasons worse than others. Oh, but there's invasive exotic stink bugs, Hardy. And they're coming after my tomatoes. Yes, there are. And we fight them as we fight them. And if it's not stink bugs, it's going to be some kind of caterpillar. And that caterpillar might have a face of a human being on it as it goes to that trendy hookah bar. Trendy? They still have them. Really? Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Smoking's not good for you. Yeah, I know. I know. But you just said don't deprive me of my joy where I can find it. Yeah, I know. To each his own. I'm sorry. I didn't want to do that to you. I know. It's complicated. Wonderfully complicated. It's wonderfully complicated. If it wasn't complicated, then every time I came back to this museum, I wouldn't be interested in that painting. I'd say, there is a painting of a farmhouse. It is wonderfully simple. It is a farmhouse. I can see it. I comprehend it. There's no problem. But if I come back and I see something I don't quite understand, and every time I come back, I have a different feeling and see a different thing, that is wonderfully, wonderfully complicated. Look at that abstract thing. Listen to this abstract show. What am I hearing exactly? What is the message that is buried in other things that aren't the message? Is it all the message? Is it none of it? Am I entertained by the man's voice? Am I entertained by the cadence of the language? Am I entertained by the meaning of the words? Am I annoyed by them? Am I annoyed by this person? What emotions am I feeling? Oh, get to feel things. That's what's important. Getting to feel things. And you should be annoyed sometimes, and you should be happy other times. That's the nice comparison. That's if the painting is all, and now there's nothing wrong with an entirely blue painting, you know? And I love minimalism. I love going to a museum and seeing just a thing that's just one color and a finished surface that looks like a hood of a car. I got no problem with that. I got no problem with looking at it, just a red neon light hanging on the wall. Don, I'm talking to you. I got no problem with that. Because that also evokes something in me. And the reason is because it's usually next to something else. So it just naturally has some sort of juxtaposition, has some contrast. We need the contrast, or you can't see the thing, right? Every white page, every blank page has a portrait on it. It's just it lacks contrast. Everything has a picture. And until you see the parts that aren't there, you don't see the parts that are there. Oh, light isn't just about light, it's about ideas too. Everything has light and darkness in it. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful doesn't mean good. Exciting doesn't mean good necessarily. It means it causes you to wonder. And the universe is a strange place. And I'm not sure it's all good because it contains suffering. And as long as people perish and die and have fear, it will contain suffering. So I don't know about that. That's crazy to me. And I accept it and I don't accept it. I understand it and I don't understand it. You know? So I fight against it, but then I also give in to it. And you can totally do both, my friends. Oh, I don't get any pleasure with other people feeling pain. I truly don't. I truly don't. Because I'm really not as concerned with people being rewarded and punished as I am with things going in a good way. So I will always hope for someone's redemption than their punishment. I would always rather someone become an ally than have an enemy perish. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't, winning is not important to me. Outcomes are important to me. Blame is not important to me. Reward is not important to me. Outcomes are important to me. Joy is important to me. Love is important to me. I don't care how we get there. I really don't. I don't care who gets credit. I don't care who gets blame. I think those have nothing to do with having the outcome you want. Idea of mistakes. I don't think they're mistakes. People do what they do, and things happen. So I try to make good things happen. I try to bring everybody to it. We all go to the light. We all have our hearts lifted up. Love infects everybody. That's how it has to be. You'll never be able to kill all the stink bugs. You need to somehow get the stink bugs to allow you to grow at least one tomato. You see what I'm saying? I want the stink bugs to change. I don't want them to. I can't kill them all. I got to convince them to leave my tomato alone. Then that's a victory. You know, say, well, you don't get a tomato, but all the stink bugs are dead. Yeah, revenge. Doesn't do anything for me. Oh, no, my friends. That is why I come on the radio in virtual anonymity. I'm not trying to get anywhere. I'm not trying to take anything from you. I don't want you to buy my new book or record. I got nothing to sell you. If I do, though, it's because I need the money and I'm not ruling it out. I'm just saying it's not my prime motivation. It's to take my heart and spread it on a piece of toast for you, get you to taste it. And you say, what is this? I go, that's my heart. I go, this is nothing like anything I've ever had. Is it kind of a jam or a jelly? No, it's more of a compote. Is it a compote? Yes, I have it at home. I have what I call a compote heap. And I take all my beautiful emotions and I put it in there and they all ferment and they make this wonderful fertile soil. And then I spread it on the toast of communication and I send it on out there in a plate from the kitchen into the beautiful restaurant that is radio. And you come in looking for a good meal and I give you hearty white toast. Yes, I do. And I try to nourish your soul because there's too many people trying to pick your pocket because there's too many people that trying to get you to convince you to do something, think the way they think, identify with them, wear a certain label. I don't mind what you do. I just want to connect with you because if we're important to one another, then we're important to one another. Oh, my friends, I am so thankful right now. My heart is singing a tune, and it's not a really good tune. I don't care, it's what's coming out of my heart, and I won't deny the feeling. And if I feel like clapping, I'll clap and chase away the clouds. There is noise you can make that chases away the things that you don't want. It's like when you wave your hands to wipe away the gnats. There are things buzzing around my head. I think some of them are sweat bees. Why? Because I just got stung badly and I think I'll scream. Oh, when the heart cries out. It doesn't always cry out articulately. It cries out in pain or joy. It doesn't always have the words. I don't always have the words to tell you that I know what it feels like to be human and alive. And I understand the confusion that you feel, that you feel. Oh my gosh, there are those who say they understand the world and they've got it all together. Should we believe them? I'll take you face value, sure. because it doesn't make me feel any worse about myself. I'm working with a different machine here. I'm a different person. We are alike, but we are different. So if you say you got it figured all out and you know what the world is, bless you, I'm not going to call you a liar. But I'll tell you, myself and others don't know. And I don't know most of what's going on. And what I do know is that I have opened my eyes and I have recognized the pain of others and I have recognized suffering that is avoidable and that is unavoidable, because there are kinds that are avoidable and there's kinds that are unavoidable. We get sick and die. That is largely unavoidable. We can do things to mitigate that pain and to make it easier, but some of that is unavoidable. And other pain, we create ourselves. And I don't know whether there's free will or not. It could just all be happening. I really don't know. But lack of free will means that one thing causes another and that there's a causal chain or a web, right? That's inescapable. But what if there was just one thing that could affect, what if everything was predetermined except this one thing, one time that you could inject into the whole system that might change things? And it's worth a try. Go with what you feel. You know, maybe it's worth a try. We know we can distinguish between pleasure and pain. Maybe that's the key. Maybe that's somehow the key. I just keep thinking it is. I just keep thinking that joy is the key. I don't even know what the question is, but I believe that joy is the answer. So I'm going to keep trying to spread it and see what happens. I'm going to keep trying to understand people. I'm going to keep trying to repress my own need for revenge. Those feelings that I feel don't make my life better or others. And I don't know if I'm on the right course, and I could be a complete fool, and I suspect I am, because just by comparison. But I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep going. And I've been doing this a little while, and I'm going to keep doing it. And I don't know if I'm the only voice telling you these things. I suspect that I am not. And I don't know if I'm the only voice telling you these things in the way that I am. I suspect that I am not. But that doesn't mean that I don't need to contribute. There are restaurants. That doesn't mean you shouldn't open up a restaurant. People need food. They need to be fed. They need to be nourished. I have opened up a tiny little bakery in this corner of the world, in this corner of the radio, Hardy White's Miracle Nutrition Bakery. And I want you to come and I want you to satisfy yourself and I want you to feel your needs met and I want you to feel a little joy and I want you to smell that fresh baking bread and I want you to... Excuse me, I'm not crying. I'm choking on my spit. And there is a difference. So I'm so sad. Sorry you're sad. I'm not sad. I just got post-nasal drip, and I was talking. But that's, oh, I got choked up, literally, on saliva. But I want you to come to my little bakery, and I'll just keep making bread as long as I can. At some point, I'll stop. But there'll be other bakeries, thank goodness. And maybe you'll open one, and that would be wonderful, too, if I can inspire you to open a bakery. If I can inspire you to be your own Hardy White, go out there, be unafraid, do your thing. Okay, my digestive system now is saying, all right, you need to go eat some actual bread or something. Oh, my friends, it's such a joy being with you. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City and Rockland County, and online worldwide at WFMU.org. Thank you for joining me this week and every week, and I will see you again next week.